Hello, hello. Welcome back to How to Learn a Language, the podcast all about how to learn languages. I am very excited to share another interview episode with you. And this time I'm speaking with Cara Leopold of Leo Listening. We have a really cool conversation. It's been a while since we've had a chance to kind of catch up properly. So that was really great to just talk before we hit record about what we wanted to talk about, because Cara is all about like film and using film for language learning in really effective ways. So we have that kind of crossover because I love film, and obviously I have Watch and Learn available for you, which is a super very easy, quick to digest mini course all about how to make the most of film and TV for language learning, and a free film and TV study pack as well that's available. I'll link to all of these in the show notes for this episode too. But I know that it's sometimes really easy to get reduced to just that one thing. And I wanted to talk to Cara about something a little bit different. So we talk a bit about trends, kind of language trends that we've seen, and whether that's a good or a bad thing. Perhaps maybe it's time to chill out and just accept that like there's more than one way to learn a language. There's no one holy grail way that is the best of everything. And so it's really great to talk with someone about that who is very much on the same page. And then we talk, of course, about film and all of that stuff. We talk more about Cara's film club as well, which is coming back in September. And do, again, check the links in the show notes if you're interested in that, because there's a little mini kind of taster week happening at the start of September. I'm talking about September 2023. And then it's opening up after that as well. So have a look at that if that is something you're interested in. And yeah, enjoy our conversation. Whether you're learning English or any other language, I feel like there's going to be something good for you in this one. All right, I'll speak to you very soon. Enjoy. Bye. Cara, hello, welcome.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm very excited to be speaking with you again. It's been a while since we've had a chance to sit down and have a proper chat.
And It has.
And I'm excited about our topic as well for today. Before we get into that, though, I do want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself.
Well, thank you. Well, my name is Cara Leopold, and I run a website called Leo Listening, which is for English learners. And what I'm doing nowadays is bringing together English learners who love movies, and we're watching and discussing them together.
Brilliant. I love that. And as we were just getting ready and kind of talking about this and thinking about the work that you do, I feel like we've really landed on a really interesting point of discussion. And we're going to talk about language trends, how things kind of come and go in and out of fashion, because I feel like movies is part of that, this idea of like passive language learning, just sit down and watch a film and you'll be fluent in a week. And I don't know about you, but as a native English speaker, the amount of times where you meet someone and they say, oh, I learned English watching Friends or watching The Simpsons. And you think, how? What else did you do? There must be more to the puzzle.
Yeah. Agreed. That's like selective memory, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that must be what it is. But you made a really good point as well about that, this kind of switch as well. Maybe you said in the past kind of 10 years, you've noticed something in terms of language trends.
Well, yeah, I would say it's kind of to do with the development of technology, right? So I think a website like Italki started like in the late 2000s, right? Mm-hmm. And then during the 2010s, that has all really developed, all these platforms where you can find a tutor and learn a language online, usually in a one-on-one setting. So it's you and your tutor. And obviously that's been marketed as, you know, it's super convenient, it's online. It could work out a lot cheaper than traditional classes if your tutor is based in a country where the cost of living is lower, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like that was a real backlash to the traditional format of, you know, group language classes, group evening classes, whatever, where, you know, you had to travel somewhere and then you're in a group. So people always assume, you know, in a group, you're not getting, you know, the speaking time that you deserve. And now it's like the internet age has made us all sort of like the children of the nobility, because now we can get private lessons, you know, cheaper than they would have been in the past. You know, for me, private tutoring was always reserved for, you know, kind of the wealthiest people, but that's kind of changed in the internet age, where everybody can have their online, you know, language tutor. So, but I feel like maybe another change is coming, and maybe that's to do with, you know, post-pandemic, maybe people want to get out of the house and not be on Zoom or whatever platform all the time, and maybe they do want to connect with people in real life in groups. And so maybe, I don't know, we'll have to see how it evolves, but I think maybe in the 2020s, you know, group learning could come back in some way. And obviously it could also come back in an online format, and it exists in online formats, because there is the rise now of, you know, communities for language learning and things like this. So yeah, I feel like there could be a sea change coming, maybe.
Yeah. And it's interesting, this idea that group learning is the way, and then it completely flips to no, one-on-one is better. And you're saying maybe there's also now sort of post-COVID this flip back towards, but I need people. And then the group stuff comes back again. And like, and as I said to you before we hit record, like, why does it have to be one or the other with these sorts of language trends? Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose you could say that it's, or perhaps it's to do with like capitalism and marketing. So if people are selling you on one particular thing, they want to sort of discredit the other methods.
Yeah.
But I've thought for some time that basically everything works in language learning. So every single method that has ever existed, from grammar translation to learning in your sleep to comprehensible input to basically everything, has the potential to work. And it might not work for you right now at the stage you're at, or it might not work for you because your personality doesn't gel with that or whatever, but it all has the potential to work. So I've worked in a school here where they used, what's that method called? It doesn't really exist anymore. It involves a lot of using cuisinaire rods, the silent way. So it just so happens that this language school where I live in Besançon, they actually learned the silent way with the founder of the method. And it was actually like kind of developed for maths in the beginning, hence the rods of different sizes. And then it was applied to language learning. And I saw some really, really like people who had started there as beginners and who were now intermediate, whose English was really, really good. And they had done everything using the silent way. But that's a method that's kind of gone out of fashion. And I don't think there's many people who know how to teach it anymore. And a lot of the people at that school are now retired. So kind of the, you know, I don't really know if they're using that method so heavily. And I've worked at a school in Switzerland, which was very heavy on the sort of grammar translation method, translating from, you know, English to French and back again. And again, some of the students there, I could see they were getting really great results with that. So, you know, I just want to say, like, I really do think it all has the potential to work. But, you know, it just depends. It depends. What a great answer. It depends. I don't know the one method that works, because all of them work.
You are like speaking to my heart. This is like the foundation of everything in language life. When I work with people in language life, it's like you need to be at the center of your language learning, because, as you say, everything has the potential to work. Those varying factors, part of that is you, and like you say, your personality and you know, the time that you have, when you're going to be learning and how focused you're going to be, all of these things that are you dependent, that are your variables. And I just this past weekend, as we're recording this, I went to visit Kirsten, who I'm sure you know, Cara. And we did a triathlon together, which was really cool, because we've been wanting to do it since 2020, which obviously took a while to get there. But yeah, like I always say when I go to somewhere new, like I'd never been to her town before, I like to find like a secondhand bookshop and see if they've got any language books. It's like my souvenir. Like I don't want the magnet or the key ring. If there's like a language book that I don't, for a language that I don't have yet on my shelf, then that's really cool. And I'm like, and I remember I got this book in this place. And anyway, I picked up one, Learn Hebrew in 7 Days. And I thought, I've got nothing for Hebrew. This is like £1.50. Yeah, you're coming home with me. Let's go. And as I was looking at it just last night, actually, and I'm like, this is kind of like, it became obvious to me that it was kind of an Amazon self-published book, which is cool. But then I looked up the author and found an article that actually it was like an Amazon catfish, quote unquote, of someone who kind of, this wasn't even their name. They used like a fake sort of pseudonym to get people to ghostwrite these books, essentially. And it was just a bit like, that feels kind of weird and shady. And is this book now still good? Is this written by a Hebrew teacher or just someone who Googled it? I don't know. But still, even with that resource being sort of as on the fence as it is, there's still something that I can learn from that. And I think that that is also always then dependent on you. Like you say, everything works. Even the book from an Amazon catfish has potential to teach me some Hebrew still.
Every book, every course, whatever, they do tend to make some, you know, sometimes quite substantial claims about what they're going to help you achieve, which may be a bit overstated, you know, because obviously you can't learn a language in 7 days. I mean, you can get going in 7 days. You can have enough to get started.
That's exactly it. And I was, do you know, I was most surprised about with this particular book was how it said learn Hebrew in 7 days, but then there were 20 chapters, not even 21. So not like, three chapters a day. Like, I can't even divide 20 equally by 7 days. Do I just have a day of rest on the Sunday, like, and do one less chapter?
So this is what I don't like, actually, is this idea that language learning can be weighed and measured in this way, because there's a lot of sort of books and courses and programs claiming, you know, X thing in X days, or have an X number of minute conversation after X days. And I don't really think, you know, language, I think I can understand wanting to put it into containers and weigh it and measure it, but I don't actually think you can. And ultimately, I think the way to measure your progress is often how you feel, and how you feel might not match up with what score you get on a test, but that doesn't really matter, because if you feel good about using the language, then I think that is the real measure of success, no matter how good or bad you are objectively, you know, in air quotes.
More than anything, I cannot agree with you more. Just the sheer fact that learning a language does not end, never mind if it's in 7 days, like it just doesn't end. I'm still learning new words in English all the time, and that's my native language. So there's always going to be something new to learn. You're never going to be like fluent in the sense that we think of fluency. How do you think fluent exists? That word fluent and fluency, how does that exist, do you think, in the world of kind of language trends? Is that goal a trend that has like appeared in more recent years? Has that always been the goal back when people were doing things like grammar translation? What do you think about that word and its relation to language trends?
It's really interesting. I don't know if you've watched the evolution of sort of the English teaching market over the last few years. Maybe not so much, because you're not quite so much directly involved these days. But, you know, when I started, it was very popular to call your online teaching business English With. So I started in 2016. So that's when English with Lucy started, which is obviously grown to become the, you know, one of the biggest education channels. So it was very trendy to call your business English With. It was trendy to talk about fluency, you know, sort of in vague terms, like you're going to get fluent or whatever. And then, and I've noticed some shit. Oh yeah, and now, yeah, and people, then it was okay to say stuff like speak like a native, and now if you say that, you get cancelled. So you have to, so it's there's really been a very there's been a real evolution in terms of the way people are talking about what they're doing. And I think some English teachers have seen how people's websites have evolved and how they're doing more specific things than just talking about fluency. And some people are moving more towards, you know, communication skills, business skills, succeeding, you know, in your sort of life in general, not just in English. So it's, yeah, there's definitely been a change for sure. Yeah, that's a really good question. Like historically, yeah, who is that? What people were aiming for in the past? I don't think so. I imagine when grammar translation was more prevalent, it was, you know, it was having, you know, knowledge of the literature of a foreign language and being able to read its literature and poetry and translate. You know, yeah, the goals were different. I think that's really interesting because you measure your success by the goals that are deemed, you know, these are the right ones and the other stuff doesn't matter. So it's funny how that can also evolve over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear that you've noticed, particularly with English, there's this kind of shift and evolution and really thinking about the language that people are using in terms of what they say their things will achieve, essentially. Mm. I think that's really important. We're in the field of language, so I very much overthink language a lot, and I'm really conscious of like, is that the right word? And sometimes you do just have to settle. So I get it that like there was a phase when fluent was the right word, and that's what resonated and still is, in the same way learn Hebrew in 7 days is what people think they want, because that's the thing is, I find with language learning, it's something that sits on a lot of people's one day lists, right? A lot of people's wish lists. And one day in my life, I would love to be fluent in Japanese, or I'd love to speak Spanish, etc., etc. And that's great. I love that there is this desire to want to learn languages and to know more about the world, but often it's the effort that then gets minimized and underestimated with something like learn Hebrew in 7 days that then kind of makes people feel like they're not cut out for it when they finish learn Hebrew in 7 days and actually feel like they can't speak much Hebrew. Maybe they have a start, but they feel like they can't do as much as perhaps they felt they were promised, and therefore the fault is on them and not the resource. And that self-blame is so prevalent, and I just want to see less of that, you know?
Yeah. More... So maybe less marketing and more realistic. Yeah, but I think, yeah, people need to have realistic goals, and I can see how that gets twisted with the way product names are sort of formulated, because everyone's going to buy the thing that says speak it in 7 days, but actually like there's a million sort of, there's also, there should really be a subtitle defining what speak looks like after 7 days.
Little asterisks. And,
little asterisk, you know, results may vary, you know, like actually explaining what it looks like. I think one of the problems is you're always sort of comparing with your native language to a certain extent, even though you know you shouldn't. So obviously the thing that is like nowadays completely effortless and you can't remember learning it and everything is, you know, easy. Obviously in comparison, you know, a new language is going to look impossible, especially at the beginning. So yeah, these things don't really help. And I can understand how that leads to a high failure rate, but yeah, you have to know what you're getting into. And that's, you know, a long-term relationship with your language, not a fling. You know, if you want to go far with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to move back to the topic of trends, what other trends have you noticed where things have kind of flip-flopped from one to the other? And maybe back again.
And maybe back again. I think, yeah, we talked about sort of like passive methods, didn't we? And yeah, it's funny because when you listen to polyglots talk about what they do, it doesn't sound very passive. It sounds like a lot of work. When you look at, I read a bit about what Luca does, and it involves sort of like translating back and forth.
Grammar translation.
Yeah, that's essentially like. But it's like, wow, okay, people think this dude is amazing at languages. He obviously is. People think he pretends to be Italian when he's actually American. He's not, but like he has worked really hard. He's done things that a lot of people won't do. And I find that's the same for all the polyglots. Like the success stories are often quite boring because it's like, oh, these people, they just super nerd out on languages and they work really hard. And they weren't like doing passive listening 12 hours a day or something. And
exactly. That's not the story people want to hear, right? People want to hear that there was like a trick, a method. Trademark.
Or they're a genius or something.
Sort
of language savant, and they just they're miraculous, and like you'll never be like that, but in fact the actual common denominator is work.
With anything, no one wants work to be the answer.
No.
That's why diet culture is so prevalent even still, right? Like no one wants to work for good things.
No, I think that's true. And yeah, so I get, again, that's like disco, but yeah, that's a promise. That's another marketing promise in a lot of areas. Like it will be easy and it will be fun. But yeah, I think it's better to have realistic expectations because yeah, those stories about, you know, you mentioned sort of watching TV with friends. And I've talked about this before. Like it's so different when you're a teenager and you are able to like watch a ton of friends in your bedroom, and then when you're an adult you're probably not going to have time to do that. And even the people who say they learned through TV, like they went to school in the majority of cases, like they were in a country with an education system that obliged them to go to school, and they did learn something at school. As much as people moan about their English classes at school, like they did come away with something, otherwise they wouldn't have been able to understand friends at all. Like they did have some basics. Like my partner said to me, oh yeah, I got really good at English because I was watching or listening to comedy podcasts. You know, like a lot of stand-up comedians now, they have very, very popular podcasts. And he said he learned English through that, but he was obviously like forgetting that he learned it like all the way through school and at university. Like I'm not saying he was particularly good at that time, but that obviously gave him the foundation that meant that he could then listen to these podcasts, which obviously was very hard at first. But again, he spent a lot of time doing it. So we come back to work.
How do movies and like things like podcasts, but in particular movies, thinking about the work that you do, how does that fit with the concept of work when it is something that we think I don't have the time, like maybe when I was a teenager, to sit around and watch friends in my bedroom? Now it's more intentional if I'm going to sit and watch something.
Yeah.
How do we then make that something that can be productive for language learning and not just, oh, it's been a long day, I'm just going to slug out, but the audio is in French, and so I'm in French mode. Like, do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Nothing wrong with that. That's kind of why I guess I created a movie club. And, you know, the way we approach it is that we spend a whole month on one movie. So not just like watching it, but also discussing it, and then, you know, working on speaking and listening skills and using specific scenes, and also reading a lot of extra stuff about the movie, like reviews and watching video essays on YouTube. So it's not just a one and done, like you watch the movie and then you move on to the next one. It's a full month of a deep dive, so that by the end you have a really good sense of what it's about, you know, not just in terms of I understood the dialogue, but also I understood this movie's themes and its messages, and I had some really interesting discussions about that, because that's really the ultimate goal, is to discuss the movie and listen to the other club members and what they thought of it, and come away with, you know, insights and understanding, you know, of the plot, of the characters, and of what your fellow club members thought of it. So it's quite a deep approach, and it's not it's not just, yeah, it's not just one and done on your couch. But that's the first step, though. The first step is watching the movie, enjoying it, immersing yourself in it, and just following the story so you can start forming some opinions. No, we don't start off with, like, you must understand the whole thing perfectly, because a lot of the understanding comes after, because then, you know, my students go off and they read a bunch of things about the movie and they come back to me and they say things like, oh, right, I understand the symbols in this movie better. I didn't really get it at first when I watched it, but now the extra stuff you sent us that explained really well, like, what it was about. So it takes time. And I think the things that I'm very transparent about my process, and I share what I get my students in the movie club to do. And people could do that on their own, but it would be hard. It'd be hard to organize all that yourself. And that's why I have the club.
And as we said at the beginning, you know, language trends, post-pandemic, a shift to wanting a bit more connection, even if it's online. You know, that idea of group lessons as well, there's advantages to that, you know. And one of them, as you said, being you don't have to then create and do all of this back end work yourself to take a movie further. Because that's your role, Cara.
Yeah, exactly. I supply all that. And like one of my students who's been in the club for since it began, like, she is a language teacher herself. She teaches Italian. She knows exactly how it works. She could figure all this out, but she likes me doing it for her. And she's like, I appreciate your expertise. You know, I want you to choose the lines of dialogue that we have to write out, because you know which ones we're going to find hard and which ones are going to be useful for us. So she's happy to like outsource that to me. And I took, because she's, you know, she's busy herself teaching Italian. She doesn't need to worry also about teaching herself English. So yeah, it's nice to get that support and support from others in the club. And we also have a twist on the one-on-one lesson, because now the club members are meeting up with each other without me. So they're doing these meetups together where they discuss the movie, and like I supply like questions and the system that matches them and, you know, some of the logistics, but then they are discussing among themselves. And I think that's really important as well, is to get out of the one-on-one bubble of always like needing to talk to a teacher and going and talking to, you know, other learners. You know, you don't have to have the teacher with you all the time, you know. You can, and they have really fascinating discussions together, and that's brilliant, you know, and that gives them more speaking time, and they don't need me to be there, and that frees up time for me to do other things.
Yeah, I love that initiative. That is that the right one? Yeah, they've taken the initiative. Yeah, that's the word. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what language/languages are the films in?
They're all in English. I'm trying to think if any of have some of them had occasional bits of other languages. Like we watched The Mule with Clint Eastwood. It's about an old man who becomes a drug runner for a Mexican cartel. So some bits of the movie are in Spanish. Yeah, that's probably the only example I can think of. Yeah, so they're all sort of in English, usually sort of Hollywood movies, but we do try to have a variety of accents so that people are getting exposure to different types of English.
Nice. And so does that mean it's just for English learners?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it could be cool to just have like people who love movies join in it, but there is a big component of English improvement. So I've had English learners and also teachers of English who are not native speakers. I hate framing it like that, but sort of teachers who, you know, obviously are always improving their English as well for their job, and then who are interested in, you know, different ways of teaching. So so everybody's, you know, got a fairly high level of English to be able to join.
Nice. And the deep dive side of it, the going beyond, it's been a long day, just gonna chill and watch the movie to start us off, That's the springboard. Then what happens? What does that deep dive actually involve?
Yeah, so I give them a bunch of resources to understand the movie. So in fact, in the new version of Movie Club, I'm actually putting together the whole archive of resources. So we've watched like 30 movies at this point. So people will have access to all the archive for all the films. And that archive looks like a document with kind of behind the scenes resources to understand the movie. So some of them you can watch before, like the trailer or reading the IMDb page. And then some of them are better suited for reading or watching afterwards because, you know, it's a movie review and they usually have spoilers or sort of video essays on YouTube that go into a bit more analysis of the film. So that's one element. And then we also work a lot with movie clips. So the club members will watch clips and then do kind of listening and writing exercises based on small bits of dialogue to work on their listening skills. And they also record themselves to work on pronunciation. And then they also use clips for like speaking and or writing tasks. So watching clips and answering questions. So we don't do a deep dive into like every single second of the movie, but you know, by the time you've sort of done the listening and speaking tasks and pronunciation tasks for those clips, plus you've like chosen some resources that you want to dive deeper into, and you've had the discussion on our forum, and you've met with other people who've watched the movie to discuss it, like you're pretty, you know, like you understand it pretty well. We're also going to have like a live discussion together in a group. And again, that's another chance to, I think this is what's really important. And this is what some people don't like in language learning is the idea of like repeating something, but it's not boring repetition because it's obviously different every time when you write on the forum and you respond to other people's observations and they give you insights that you haven't had before, or you chat to people one-on-one or you chat in the group. So that's like multiple touch points where you're articulating your opinions on the movie, but you're also learning more about it every time you hear someone else's point of view. So I think that's what makes it really enriching and a deep dive is just, yeah, like reiterating kind of the same task in a slightly different way.
Nice. I have two questions. The first one is a simple yes or no. Can movies be a resource that improves every area of your language learning?
Honestly, I think so. If you do it kind of the way I do it, because I mean, something else we could do that I haven't really done is also write movie reviews. But then I would say the club members practice writing a lot because a lot of the sharing of opinions and answering questions about the movie is in written format. So actually, yeah, they get to do a bit of everything, listening, reading, writing, speaking. So I think it has the potential to, but it requires a lot of organization and effort to do that.
That's what I talk about a lot in Watch and Learn as well, is like sort of expanding the ways that you think about film as well. So if someone is listening now and they're like, oh, this sounds amazing, but I'm learning Korean, for example.
Yeah.
What would be your advice?
It could potentially be to create their own movie club.
Mm.
So find, I mean, that, you know, that's advice that I give. I think everybody should be watching movies with at least one other person. So it could be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a big group. It could just be you and someone else, so another learner or you and a tutor or whatever, and it could just be you two discussing the movie together. So that makes it a lot easier. You only need one other person. Otherwise, there is I don't know if you're familiar with Lauren, who runs the Language TV Club.
Yeah,
she offers a lot of languages, so that could be something to look into. The only thing about that is, and the reason I don't work with TV series is I really like doing the deep dive over a month. And if you're kind of working with a series, I guess the expectation is to watch an episode like every week. or every 2 weeks. And for me, that pace is just a bit too fast. But it's obviously more feasible with a TV show, especially if it's sort of, if the episodes are relatively short, because, you know, a show is generally easier to follow than a movie. You're not just watching, it's not just a one-off, it's something that's building every week and you're familiar with the characters and the setting or whatever. So that could be something to look into. But yeah, otherwise the simplest step would be, create your own. And I would really like for more teachers to offer more movie clubs, you know, not just in other languages, but even in English, because every club can have a slightly different focus or involve different films. Because, for instance, like, we don't really watch recent movies. So, you know, now, like, all the films are basically like superhero movies or franchises. You hadn't noticed. They've all got man in the title. And
apart from Barbie.
Why does that movie even exist? Can someone explain what's going on? So they're franchises, or like, I guess that's kind of like an off, that's like a sort of merchandising thing, isn't it? Like, normally you have the film and then they sell the toys, but now like the toys are creating the film.
I did read that apparently it's the first of a few. I read something like Mattel has the sort of storyboarded like 32 different films, like Jesus. A Hot Wheels high chase adventure. The rest of them sound crazy and like just completely off the wall. Barbie, actually, I'm very much looking forward to.
Oh, are you? I've seen there's some big actors in it. There's Margot Robbie.
The trailer, chef's kiss.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe I should stop. I'm like a sort of angry old woman who's like, why are they doing? And I haven't even looked at the trailer. I'm just like, the concept, I just don't even understand. Or movies these days are like franchises. So like now we're at Fast and Furious 512 or whatever it is. So like, we don't watch movies like that, but no judgment if you want to watch that kind of movie, you know.
Be good. There's a reason they're so popular, right?
Yeah, it would be good if somebody created a movie club for those ones. I don't quite know what they would do, because for me, a lot of those movies don't have enough interesting dialogue or character development or plot. But again, maybe I am judging and I have no idea, and they're actually very profound films that go deep into the human condition and are ripe for discussion. I don't know, but anyway, I'm just making the point that it'd be cool if there were more movie clubs or book clubs or podcast clubs, but basically you know, clubs built around content that you're not just kind of consuming on your own, but that you're then discussing with other people and going deep into, you know, to the extent that, like, sometimes for example, we watched the movie Invictus, which is about it's kind of like a docu-fiction docudrama. It's about South Africa winning the 1995 World Cup. So it's post-apartheid. Nelson Mandela has been elected, and his idea is to reunite South Africa around certain symbols like the rainbow flag, the idea of the rainbow nation, and most significantly around the rugby team, which is challenging because the rugby team was all very much associated with, you know, the apartheid, you know, white South Africa, and the you know, the black population just doesn't hates this rugby team basically because of all it symbolizes, and he tries to give it a different symbolism and meaning, and it works in the end because they do win the 1995 Rugby World Cup against all the odds. And that actually led to at least one person in the club, because the book doesn't really go into the sort of pre-apartheid era. It's very like forward looking, even if it does touch on it a little bit. So I suggested to my club members that they read Trevor Noah's memoir, Born a Crime.
So good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, but just because that really goes into, like, you know, what it was actually like, and, you know, what it was like for someone like him who technically, you know, shouldn't have been born, given, you know, his two parents are, yeah, just crazy story. And but obviously it gives you an idea of what it was like. So yeah, you can go so deep potentially with movies. But maybe not with Fast and Furious 67 or whatever.
I think you can. I'm remaining an optimist. I'm excited to see the movie club, the Fast and Furious movie club specifically, because there are so many that it would last a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's where it's got potential. And Vin Diesel is bloody hard to understand. So you need like 67 films to be able to understand his dialogue.
To crack the Vin Diesel code. I feel like you've touched on this a little bit there, but you said something a little while back that I've written on my hand because I wanted to ask about. And you said just in kind of in passing in what you were saying that we should all watch movies as part of our language learning. Why?
Well, I don't think you have to, but I do think they can give you an insight into the culture that it is kind of like particularly immersive, you know, because, you know, as much as you can learn about cultures from, say, podcasts or books or anything else, you know, when you're watching a movie, you actually get to see how people interact and how they move, how they stand, you know, are they close to each other? Are they further away? Like you get that. It's almost like 3D immersion. I know it's like flat and you're not actually in the movie with them. But I think it's a special gateway into, you know, into the world. Even if it is, yes, it's a fantasy world in a lot of cases. It's not exactly real life, but still it is informed by real life. But there's a fantastic quote by Martin Scorsese that I'm probably going to misquote. And he says something like, now more than ever, we need to talk to each other, listen to each other, understand each other. And movies are the best way of doing this.
Mm.
So, you know, there's also that. There's, you know, developing empathy through watching movies and, you know, watching characters do things where you're like, you know, why did she do that? That was stupid. But actually, you know, when we sit down and we really analyze, you know, what's going on, we can have compassion for people and the choices they make and, you know, what happens in a story and how characters evolve. And I think it helps us grow as people.
Such a wonderful answer.
Thank you. There you go. So that's why. I mean, you can get that from books as well. For sure. Many movies are based on books, but I don't know. Movies just have that extra dimension because you've got that visual and sound and that real kind of, I'm still going to keep saying 3D, even though it's like, it's flat on a flat screen.
I don't know. I think Fast and Furious 67 was in 3D.
I was going to say, now you can go and see a 3D film. I don't, because I know that I would like vomit after like 2 minutes.
So you've never seen a 4D film? I think I went
4D,
once.
There's a 4D film? Are we in Interstellar? Like, what is it? 4D? God,
the seat has a little, like, bit of a rumble in it and moves about a bit.
Oh, dear God.
If a character's riding a horse, you're riding the horse too. And there's maybe, like, little air jets that kind of puff out. If they go into a cave, then, like... Phew.
Oh, no, yeah. That's far too much.
It's quite intense.
Stimulation. Yeah. You've done that. How much do the tickets cost? Like 100?
I think I saw maybe like The Hobbit or one of the Hobbit films that way. And then I've seen a few like in theme parks where they're like, you know, a little 10-minute film.
I think they're
like 5D because they maybe have like smells and water as well. I don't know. I'm curious what counts as the dimension, like,
yeah. I was gonna say, I don't know if like scientifically that's
no
what that is.
No.
I don't think so. Okay. Wow, there's a whole world. Yeah, we went to the cinema the other day, like actual bums on seat cinema, and I just go to normal screenings. I don't go very much these days, but when I do, it's just like normal 2D, you know, the seats
classic.
Are comfy. There's nobody's blowing air up my bottom, which is or wherever, you know. It's old-fashioned cinema.
Can I ask what you saw?
We saw the new Wes Anderson movie, which is called Asteroid City. I was like trying to think, it's called like crater, space, constantly thinking of all these words like
word association.
Word association. Yeah, it's Asteroid City because we're big fans of Wes Anderson. I actually think the last time we went to the cinema was probably to see whatever the new Wes Anderson movie was. So that's an idea of how often I go to the cinema. So he needs to keep making movies to keep me like going out of the house and going to the cinema.
Nice. That's cool. And what are some language trends, to come back to our first bit of the discussion, what are some language trends that you've noticed, first of all, with movies in particular? And follow-up question, what are some language trends that you predict with movies?
Oh, gosh. Well, the positive trend is seeing like clubs emerging, like Lauren's Language TV Club. And I know of other teachers doing movie clubs. I even did a bit of teacher training to sort of help teachers, because I want there to be more clubs. Like, I genuinely like do. That's not just so I can sell my course. I think it'd be a really good thing for language learners. So yeah, maybe within that trend of kind of like getting input and comprehensible input. Well, I guess movies are often considered not very comprehensible input. Yeah, I guess a trend I see is kind of denigrating movies and saying that they don't work. But you know, I would counter that with the way I think you can make them work. But again, do they work? Are they always suitable at every moment of your language learning journey? Are they useful at the beginner level? You know, probably not. So I think that backlash is justified. So yeah, I've seen a bit of movie clubs. Have I seen a lot? I don't think I've seen too much like nonsense, like, you know, just passively watch movies and you'll learn. Like, there's like YouTube channels like Learn English with TV Series, which is a massive channel now, and I mean they do like explicit teaching, and they have their Learn English with Friends course and everything. So I think yeah, there are a lot of people doing the, okay, you like watching this thing, but here are the actual like techniques and methods that work so you can learn from movies and TV shows. So yeah, I think there is some quite realistic stuff, and that is fairly honest about the work involved. But given that we're working with people who are motivated to watch this stuff anyway, then the work is kind of like the spoonful of sugar from Mary Poppins to help like the work go down more easily. So if you're already...
I like that. That's very cool.
It's but obviously if you hate movies, like don't watch them, you know.
Yeah, don't join the club.
Don't join the club. Stay away. Or like form your own club to do with like the thing that you're interested in. So I'm seeing more, you know, book clubs. I don't know if anyone's doing a podcast club. That would be awesome. I would totally join that. I pay for some podcasts that I listen to, and I'm part of the Patreon community. And yeah, it'd actually be even cooler to meet with people who listen to the same podcasts as me and discuss them. Not even for like language learning, just like because the topic is interesting. But anyway, I would that would work really well in language learning. So those are the trends that I hope will develop. Is, you know, not these things that seem like solo activities, like watching movies seems like the real kind of like solo activity. But I think if it only remains a solo activity, it's not as rewarding or as useful as it is when it's in a group.
Amazing. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to all these clubs that...
Yeah, I hope they're all going to pop up.
As people listen to this and think, yeah, I want a club for my thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Kara, if people are interested in joining Movie Club, how do they do that?
Well, they can join. I'm going to do so Movie Club's going to reopen for enrollment at the end of September, and then in October we'll be watching a scary movie, because obviously it's October. But because this
Heck
is my
yeah.
movie club, yeah, you can expect like a smart scary movie with a lot of stuff to discuss, so not just like a load of gore. Anyway, so that will be coming up, and then before that, kind of mid-September, probably the week of the 11th of September, I'm going to do a small like week-long movie club with a back to school theme because it's September. So we're not going to watch a whole movie, but we'll use clips. So I mentioned that I use clips a lot in my club. So people will get a chance to taste what it's like to, you know, discuss movies with others and use clips to do kind of a deeper dive into the language. So what I recommend, if people want to try it out, join me for the week long one. If you like that, then you can join the actual like club, which is, you know, monthly, or you can join for a year if you're really into it. And then even if you join the week long one and you don't like it or you don't want to go further, you will still get a lot out of the week long one, almost as much as Hebrew in 7 days, perhaps even more than Hebrew in. I'm promising more than Hebrew in 7 days. I'm promising. Yeah.
Quite the promise.
Quite the promise. Yeah. No, it's going to be a really fun, a fun week of movie watching and discussion. And then the big one, well, just imagine, you know, if a week is good, imagine a month or even a year if you're really, really motivated. So
brilliant. And how can people learn more about you in general?
They can go to leo-listening.com. That's my website. Loads of stuff on there. They can go to Leo Listening on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel that I've been reviving a bit, so people will find new videos on there, all to do with, you know, watching movies, reviews of movies we've watched in the club, all kinds of good stuff like that. And then I quit all social media a few years ago, but I kept my LinkedIn profile, and I've actually been posting on there for the last year, 18 months. So that's Cara Leopold. If you're on LinkedIn, you can find me on there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And I'm excited. I want to end this recording so that I can ask you what the October movie is going to be, because smart horror, that's like a top tier genre for me.
So, oh wow. Yeah, I think I'm probably, because usually like we choose the movies together and we have a theme, but kind of the way I'm doing it now, that's going to be tricky to organize that. So I was gonna get everyone to watch Get Out, the Jordan Peele horror. Yeah, because I thought it was amazing. Like,
so good.
We've also watched The Thing by John Carpenter.
Yeah,
I really like all of John Carpenter's horror movies, so can't really watch it again. Well, I suppose we could, but actually it will be in the club.
It'll be in the archives.
Yes, you understood that part. Yeah, it's going to be like its own little course, so even if we're not watching and discussing it together, people can go in and they can, you know, read about it and do the activities and obviously go off and watch it themselves. Still discuss it on the forum if they want to. Like, I'll have a thread for each movie. I don't expect a huge amount of discussion if it's not that month's movie, but at least they can still like chime in about it if they enjoyed it.
It's so, like, that archive is like an educational Blockbuster video shop.
Yeah, it is. It's like an old video shop. Yeah. I should try and talk about it that way. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only thing that there isn't is the actual movie, because obviously I'm not a streaming platform. But we always manage to find the movie somehow. So
brilliant. Yeah. Cara, thank you so much for your time and for talking about all of these really interesting topics with me today. And
thank you,
I'm sure I'll speak to you very soon.